We began a lesson this morning on living a better life. We pointed out that so many people miss out on living a life that would be enjoyable. And of course, the best life is a Christian life. And we could open up the New Testament and begin a study of a Sermon on the Mount. Or we could turn to the epistles and read about how Christians are to live, all the blessings that we have, the promises from God that Peter says are exceeding precious and great promises. But this morning we looked at some Old Testament scriptures, especially from the book of Proverbs, which is a book of profound wisdom and understanding. And I would encourage you to read that book. Study it, especially the young people. I say that because actually it was written primarily for those that were younger, but the book contains wisdom to live a better life. God's book is written so that we will live a better life, and then in the world to come, we will have eternal life, which is hard to grasp that down here on this earth. Seems like things are going so fast that you don't really have much time to think about what is ahead of us up in heaven, but there is a place called heaven, and there will be no pain up there. Some of you are not well tonight. You've not been well, maybe not going to be well. Brother Malcolm has been very ill. Lately, when I've talked to him, I say, "Are you hanging in there?" And Malcolm's reply is like some others that I've talked with. He said, "I'm trying." And that's pretty good. Almost 91 years old, and he said, "I'm trying to hang in there." So we have a short life, and God wants us to enjoy it. We mentioned this morning from Micah, in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." And we said this morning, if that's what we went away with, that would be good, wouldn't it? You just think about how the world would be blessed spiritually, and how homes would be blessed, how husbands and wives and families would be blessed, our leaders would be blessed, if they just opened the Bible and they did justly and loved mercy and walked humbly with God. It certainly would change the entire world. Christians are to live like that. Those are principles in the Old Testament. We have many principles. That has never changed. The principles in the Old Testament, we're not under the old covenant, but there are principles that don't change, like prayer. We have a lot of prayer back here under the Old Testament. Not just under the old, what we call the old covenant, but before that. Before that, during what we often call the patriarchal age, a period of time in which the fathers ruled the families in a religious sense as well. We mentioned this morning, Richard said something about it, wisdom, better to have wisdom than silver and gold. And we had scriptures on this from the book of Proverbs. We said it's better to be godly rather than to have great treasures. And again, we have scriptures from Proverbs. And it's better to be rebuked than to be lost for all eternity. Sometimes we don't look upon preaching and God's Word like we should. I know that there are probably some preachers out there that do things in a vindicative way. In other words, they may just go out of their way to try to injure other people, maybe embarrass other people. But most gospel preachers that I've known don't try to do that. You may feel that way at times. I've had people walk out and say, you're just preaching to me tonight. And that is the furthest thing from my mind. Matter of fact, on occasion, I just prepared a sermon basically for myself. And I've had people say that, "You're preaching to me tonight." And I just tell them the truth. That was for me. But you see, the word hit them and struck them, and it evidently struck a chord. So tonight, this will be our fourth point. Very, very simple from the book of Proverbs. You'll notice that each of these has a word better in it. We can do better, can't we? And can't we all do better? Sometimes we say, "Well, I'm doing my best." Well, sometimes we do our best, but a lot of times, in my judgment, we don't. We kind of fall short even of that. I'm glad God is merciful, aren't you? I'm glad God is merciful. And one of the qualifications of a high priest was he was to have mercy on the ignorant. Sometimes we're ignorant on things that we do. Sometimes we sin, don't even think about it. But back in the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice for ignorance. Did you know that? When you learned that you had done something through ignorance, why then you repented to God and you offered a sacrifice. And that maybe we don't know something, but we have a sacrifice, don't we? And that's not talking about willful ignorance or anything like that, but you don't remember all the times that you have failed in sin, and neither do I. Sometimes you... How about pride? You think you've always seen when you were lifted up in pride, and the Bible condemns that in the strongest terms. So we turn to the Word of God. Our fourth point is, better to be poor and humble than to be wicked. That's, in my judgment, that's kind of an unusual wording. Because you're talking about being in poverty to some degree, to being poor. And you're comparing that, and you're saying it's better to be like that and walk in your integrity, to walk in such a way as to maintain a good conscience before God, to live a good life. He says, than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So you've got the poor, and then you've got that contrasted with someone. The word perverse generally carries the idea of like being a twisted. Some people will take their tongues, and it's in the Old Testament, and they use them like swords. They just dig them into people. There are some that are called backbiters, and they dig into your back when you're not looking. They slip up on your back and stick a sword into you by whispering. And the Bible teaches that whisperer separateth chief friends. So it's better to be poor. I don't think any of us want to be poor. If you read Proverbs chapter 30, there is some wisdom in there, which is better not to be poor and not to be rich, but just sort of be in between, and that certainly would be a wonderful thing. I am just glad. We have been very blessed, but I'll tell you, I'm just glad when I pay my bills, aren't you? Huh? Maybe you don't rejoice, but if I go by the post office and just put that bill in there and it's been written, I get some pleasure out of that. God has blessed us so much. In Proverbs 19 and 22, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. There again, it's kind of an unusual type of wording. It starts off with, what is the desire of a man? What should you want? What should all of us want? A man or a woman? What should we want? We should have a desire to be kind. You turn on the television tonight if you watch the news. Probably not best to watch it just before you go to sleep. But you see so much hatred in our country. That's from the devil. People don't know, a lot of people don't know where it's coming from. But the desire that we have should be to be kind. That should be our goal, and the world to be a better place. We recently had my sister-in-law's mother died, and the funeral was yesterday up in Ohio. And I guess maybe about a year or so ago, not real long ago, she became a Christian. All those years. But they tell me that she was the happiest person in the congregation and just loved everybody. That's significant, isn't it? She changed the world for the good. And actually, even before that time, her and my mother were the best of friends. So that's a wonderful thing when someone is prepared to leave from here. A poor man is better than a liar. Here we have not having a lot versus a moral evil, a sin to be a liar. And I guess I was thinking on the way over here tonight about some sermons that we really need to have. And liar is one of them, and murder is another one. Subjects that are very clear in the Bible, and we've got people that say it's okay to murder somebody. You just got to have a good reason. But a poor man is better than a liar. You don't want to be a liar. Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. So again, all of these have the word poor in it, these first ones. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways. And then he adds something to it. I would like you to think about this. Though he is rich, it would have been good just to have this proverb. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways. Now, Solomon wrote that, and we studied this morning in 2 Chronicles. And we have been studying about Solomon, how rich he was. He didn't have anything like this, all right? They not only didn't make it, but his was all gold and silver. His all is gold, silver. Just unbelievable how much wealth he had. And he's writing this. It's too bad that he abandoned these ideals for I don't know how long. But he says, though he be rich. In other words, even the riches, and that's what so many people are thinking about, even if you've got the riches, it's still bad to be perverse instead of just being a poor person, a lowly person, don't have a whole lot. I think we worry about being like that, but the happiest people are that way, in my judgment. Proverbs 16 and 19, another one. And this is sort of like where we began. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The spoil is that which you receive, like if you were to go into a war and have a great victory. We have a statement, to the victor belong the spoils. And that was one thing that was that the armies, in ancient armies, we're blessed with, and I'm certain that others have done this recently, and that is to partake of the spoils. But he said it's a whole lot better just to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. How did Jesus begin the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount? How did he begin that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that word poor is sort of like being a beggar. Isn't that something? I'm glad I never had to be a beggar. But we're to have that kind of a spirit. It'd be hard to have trouble in the church if brethren if they are poor in spirit, if they're humble before God. That brings us to our fifth point. And this does these have application not only to our nation and people that are not children of God. These have application to us as children. I'm certain that you realize that, like a preacher, pretty much knows the congregation, and pretty much generally knows. Only God knows everything about us. I don't try to snoop into your business, but I know that you have a lot of troubles and a lot of burdens, a lot of bad health. And from time to time, there are things that are in the family that come out that aren't right. Proverbs 15 and 17, better is a dinner of herbs, the H is silent, herbs, H-E-R-B-S, where love is. Now, if you look that up, some of you are good cooks, and you use herbs very often. They're kind of like little small plants, okay? You're looking at someone is a meat and potatoes guy, okay? That's what you're looking at. If I go to a buffet, I can skip the dessert, salads and everything. I can get the fish and all the meaty stuff. I get that first. If I got any space, I might use something else. But to sit down to a dinner, there's a few little plants, you know, little herbs and that. That's why it's so hard for me to go to restaurants. But he said it's better to have a dinner like that if you have love. If that's the kind of home you have, sit down. You don't have a lot. And when I was growing up, the most common meal, if we ever went by a week without it, I don't remember it, beans and cornbread. You all like that? Huh? Pinto beans, white beans, any kind of beans. I thought I never would want to eat them again, but they are. I love them. So it's better to have this dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. An ox that has been fed in the stall, the meat tastes a lot better than just out in the grass. Solomon had all kinds of money. He knew all about agriculture, and he knew about a stalled ox. So he said, you know, you sit down, you got this little bowl of herbs, put something on top of it, and then you got this big ribeye steak, okay? But he said, now you're sitting down there, and you got this real good food. But he said, it's a whole better just to have that little bit of herbs. Eat that. Who wants to live in a home where you don't have peace? I have heard members of the church. I heard one sister in Christ only attended here, I believe, one time, but her husband was restored and one of the most godly, quiet, loving persons I've ever met. And one time at their house, Charlotte and I were visiting, and I could have crawled under the table the way she talked to her husband. Do you know the Bible is going to judge us as husbands and wives? Do we think you can do things like that and have hatred and say anything you want and you're just somehow going to go to heaven because you've been baptized? You can scratch that off. That's not going to happen. These things that we're talking about are required. Walk humbly and justly before God, seeking kindness. Then we have a similar one in Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith. Quietness. Just sit down in quiet. Let's have a meal in peace. Than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Under the Old Testament, when they offered, for instance, peace sacrifices, they could partake of those peace sacrifices. It was something that they could enjoy. And Solomon, being acquainted with that, is talking about that. And you could have all kinds of these sacrifices. But if you sit down to a meal and you have strife and you have contention and you don't have quietness, what do you have? Is that living a better life? Some people could come and hear both of these sermons this morning, go home, and probably tomorrow do just the opposite. Just the opposite. You may not believe that, but I'm positive that that can happen, but hope it doesn't. It doesn't have to. Then in Ecclesiastes 4:6, again Solomon wrote this. Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs. There are three writers of Proverbs. Two different ones are mentioned in the last two chapters. But other than that, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is an handful with quietness, just a little bit quietness, than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Again, that would be something vexing, not having peace. Then that brings us to our sixth point. Better to be slow to anger than to be hasty in spirit. I have a lot of books at the house, and I enjoy reading about the life of Lincoln, because if you read about his life, he grew spiritually throughout his life. I recently received 4 books from one of my sons visiting Washington, Tennessee. I'm about halfway to one of them. And to read how he became so conscientious and sincere about the Bible is a blessing to read about. But I have another book, a very old one, written in, I believe it's written in 1865, in the very year that he died. And it was written probably very hastily, make money maybe, but also perhaps to point out how great Lincoln was. But it has reminiscences, and it talks about Lincoln. I still remember reading one time, and the man talked about how angry Lincoln was one time. If there are any of you here that never been real angry, I wish you would tell me, okay? Huh? And we got people that, and because of something like that, they act as if somehow that human being was not a person of accomplishment. If you know anything about George Washington, he could really be angry when they were turning their backs and running away on the battlefield. He's 80 yards and they're shooting at him with all these rifles. And he's trying to get them to come up and fight. Finally, somebody talks him into getting off the battlefield before he was killed. So, we're not talking about that. But we're talking about that we should try, as a rule, to be slow to anger. We may not always do that, but it's bad to be hasty of spirit. Hasty of spirit, you just got to do things in haste all the time. It's a good thing to be diligent. That has a side of that. That's good. But some people are just absolutely too hasty, and they get in such a hurry that they do not function properly. Proverbs 16 and 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That, if you want to know what our challenge is, a great challenge is to rule our own spirit. Is it not? We're not talking about the husband ruling the wife's spirit and the wife ruling the husband's spirit. We're talking about for each individual to rule his spirit, to have control over his spirit. That is a great challenge. That is a great challenge. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest at any time when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1526, William Tyndale's translation says, instead of I keep under my body, he translated it, I tame my body. That's a good translation. 90% of the King James came from William Tyndale. I tame my body. Now, you're talking about working on yourself. That's the biggest project in my judgment. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Well, how do you do that? Let's just say, okay, preacher, I have a problem with that. How do you do that? Well, first recognize it, number one. Number two, pray about it. Number three, read this book of Proverbs and anything connected with it. And then when you catch yourself doing something wrong, and you can do that, just back off. Slow down. Resist the devil. I say it may not work every time, but if you work on it, all of us can be better people. Proverbs 29 and 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. It's a good thing to ponder the path of our feet and let all our ways be established. Proverbs 4 and 26. And in that same chapter, Solomon was told by his son that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. But we have so many, it seems like it, don't even think about it, wisdom. The older people here, and I'm not going to call their names, but we have a lot of wisdom here with our elderly people. We really do. And I'm not saying that all the wise people, that they don't have wisdom. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, if you seek me early, talking about wisdom, you will find me. We have some, I think, some very wise young people as well. But I asked Nick to lead this song. I know he thought I probably made a mistake on it. I actually said invitation. Actually, that's what I meant. It was good. He may not even heard that. because they're so used to saying before the sermon, it was good, I'm not criticizing. Actually, it turned out to be better. Angry words, oh, let them never from my tongue unbridled slip. You ever ride a horse unbridled? I have. You have no control. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. That's exactly what we just said. You have to have this impulse to check them. In other words, stop the mouth before you say something that's wrong. And yes, that's hard to do. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Going back to the second verse, love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. What's the solution? Love one another. Thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. So you want to have a good life? These are just a few of the principles in the Bible. So many other things that the Bible is filled with that. All of the epistles are filled with things, but here are a few things in the book of Proverbs, especially, that we can live a better life, everybody. It's a challenge, and it will be successful if one person lives a better life. If you're not a Christian, you're not living the best life, are you? You're not living the best life. First of all, when you go to bed at night, you don't have any hope. You don't have any hope. If you're not a Christian, and you're not a little child or an infant or baby or a very young person, then you're not really prepared to meet God. We're going to meet God, and we sang earlier today about that from when the trump sounds, the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead are going to be raised. And we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged according to the deeds done in the body. You want to be saved by God's grace and God's mercy through the gospel of Christ, to obey the Lord, the captain of our salvation, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. And whatever he says, you don't hesitate to do. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, baptized, shall be saved, but he that believeth not, shall be damned. Have you been scripturally baptized into the Lord and put him on? If you have not become a child of God, you become one, just like our sister-in-law's mother. I knew her from a very young person. I performed a wedding ceremony between her daughter, my sister-in-law, and my brother a long, long time ago. So if you're not ready, why, you let us assist you in any way we can as we stand and sing.